Praise you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your word give us strength and life. And we just come to you, Lord, to ask you to minister to us as we are going to go to your word, that we may be able to receive everything that you give us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The kingdom of God. This is the fourth time we deal with this. And I'm going to be just looking, you know, remember what the one of the basic scriptures in which we base ourselves is Matthew 9, 35. It says, then Jesus went about in all the cities and villages teaching, excuse me, in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See, the manifestation, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the manifestation of the gospel of the kingdom on earth was the fact that he was healing every sickness and every disease. See, the manifestation of the power of God is part of the evidence that the kingdom is here. You know, the kingdom of God, the way Jesus preached it, didn't quite fit with the Jewish ideas that they had in those days. This is why they rejected him. They wanted somebody that was establishing a physical kingdom. And when instead it was coming and doing a spiritual kingdom, that's not what they really wanted. They wanted to kick off the Romans from their land and to have their own kingdom. But that, excuse me, evidently is not what God wanted. Okay? In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, you see, they wanted something physical. He answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. You see, that's not a physical thing that you can look at it. You cannot see it. Not will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is something that is inside us. Okay? And this is something that is spiritual. Okay? It's in the spiritual dimension. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not something physical. And from the point of view of, you know, he was teaching about drinking the food that was offered to idols. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you see, this is a spiritual or an inner awareness and an inner experience. But it's not just inner experience. There is more than that. There is an effect that because the kingdom of God is operating, is manifested even in the physical. But it's not the kingdom itself, are the results of the kingdom. Okay. And this is clearly explained in John chapter 3, when starting from verse 1, we can start, you know, when Jesus meets Nicodemus. Okay. A ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So you see, one of the evidences of the kingdom was the sign that Jesus was doing. And Jesus said and answered to him, most assuredly I say to you, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you see, even if the signs were there, and there are evidences, you know, you said that you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? The sign, you know, even the sign sometimes, people see a miracle and they dismiss it. Just because they are not spiritually attuned and they don't realize that the things that took place is because there is a spiritual event that took place to produce that result, you know. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? You see, he's always bringing back to a physical interpretation. Okay? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about entering and not just seeing it. You cannot be part of it. Okay, and this is saying, you know, what you have to be, you see, there is to be a spiritual event within you to be able to move into this dimension, which is a spiritual dimension. It says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and here giving an example, okay. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes, where it goes. So everything who is born of the Spirit. And really, this is really showing that, you know, just the same as the wind, you cannot see the wind, but produces results. And the kingdom of God is the same. You cannot see the kingdom of God, but you see the results. Okay? Like, you know, we pray for people and they, you know, they got the pain gone. Well, maybe you didn't see the result because the pain is something that they have internally. But the thing is that something happened to them physically. It was the result of something that happened spiritually on a spiritual level that brought them pain, free from pain. Okay? So there was a reality there, but a reality that they could not see. Okay? Now, if somebody wants to be not believing, well, I say, well, nothing happens. Well, the thing is, for the people that they had experience, they had something before, they don't have it after. Okay? So, the idea, you know, really, that what Jesus came to do was not another religion, not a philosophy, and not the mental things that we had to understand just mentally, is the kingdom of God that he came to establish down here. And this kingdom is here already. And it's operating already because we can see it at work. If we are part of it, we can also operate in that level. So it's, you know, the problem is that there has to be something beyond the physical and the mental. It's something that's to, you know, the Holy Spirit, for us to be able to enter the kingdom, has to deal and touch our hearts. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. That your faith, that means what you believe, what you stand on, should not be on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. You know, two people can hear the message about what Jesus has done, the good news, one can be transformed completely, be born again because they receive it. The other person hears the same message and then nothing happened for them. And it happens for many things in the spirit. You know, somebody can be prayed for and they receive healing. Somebody else can receive nothing. Okay. What is the difference? Why one gets and the other one doesn't get? Is because of their heart. When the heart is hardened to the message, they will not believe it and they will not receive it. When they are soft and allow, believe that message and appropriate it and say, yes, this is mine, this is it, I believe it and I stand on that, then they are going to be able to receive it. And that just out of the heart, which is very, you know, not physical, but the spiritual position that happens within you, makes an enormous difference in the impact that those words are going to have on the person that hears them. In one case, they believe the good news, they're becoming new creature and their spirit is completely cleansed and renewed and they are ready to move on with God and God is moving with them. The other case, nothing is happening. And it's not because of the God doesn't want to do it. It's the same thing with healing. It's not because God doesn't want to do it. His plan was from all the time for somebody to be healed, to be saved, to be delivered, to be everything that they need. You know, his plan is for all these things to happen, but really what happens to us depends on us. If we believe, we receive. If we are open and we accept what the Word of God says, then we are able to manifest the kingdom in ourselves, and the words that are said, they have a spiritual power to empower us and to work within us to produce results both in the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical aspect of our life. So that's what happens when we respond to the word that are spoken, that are the word of God. You see, believing with the heart and confessing with our mouth is produces the result. You see, there is two components there. There's a believing and a confession, a standing on that, the acting on it. Confession is nothing else than a way of acting on what we believe. Hallelujah. So, you know, the heart is what God looks at. I've shared last, maybe Saturday, the Friday, Thursday, and before 2 years. You know, God, last Sunday, you know, the heart is what makes the difference between our relationship with God and be able to receive. When our heart is in the right place, then we can have a relationship with God that is effective and makes a difference in our life, in all the aspects of our life. You know, people say, how do you know that your heart is receiving or not? Actually, you may have, if you are a believer, you may have that experience. You go and witness to somebody. Okay. And they can either have an open heart, receiving what you're saying, or a hardened heart, because maybe they've been hurt by Christians or something else, or something had happened in the past. And they are just closed. You know, even before they say anything, even before there is anything, you know what's happening. You feel like there is a wall there resisting what comes from you. So there is a spiritual witness. You see, there is a spiritual reality in what I'm talking about. You have actually a spiritual witness of what happens within them, and you actually feel it almost physically, but it's not physical. You just feel that what you're saying is there is a wall there and it bangs against it and gets back to you unreceived. Okay, so actually, we actually can sense in our inner witness what happens in our relationship. You, I know, for example, that sometimes the more anointing there is in you to share what you're doing, the more God, the Holy Spirit is working through you, and the more sometimes forcefully you come through. And the more forceful you are by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to produce a reaction in people. To the point that in some cases when they are closed before, their heart is hardened before, what happens instead of yielding and receiving, they reject it and they get mad at you. They just, like the Pharisees, you know, they were upset with Jesus when he was speaking under the anointing. I felt so many times that happens with me too. You know, when somebody gets offended because you're preaching the gospel, it's because their heart has been hardened already. And I know it when it's happening. But I had to speak the truth. Amen. the way Jesus did. You see, he knew in his heart that their thoughts were evil. The Bible says, the Pharisees' thoughts, when he was speaking the truth under the anointing of God. Well, you know, that knowing, if you are operating at that level, at that particular, you know it exactly what's taking place, and you know what is producing. And it's sad to see because, you know, it's a sad thing that takes place. And it's not God that is doing that. It's their position that even before the message was given, their heart was hardened. So that when we speak it out, that hardened heart becomes even harder. And they get mad at you. Okay? And that is, you know, the work of the devil in them. It takes a grip on them. So it was exactly the same thing with Pharaoh. You know, when Moses was there producing miracles and so on, you know, each time he did something, his heart was hardened. Because he saw the power of God and he resented it. Now, we have to understand that, you know, from the point of view of people acting and reacting, nothing has changed. It's just that now, you know, operating on the Spirit of God is much more common because when you are born again, you should be in the kingdom and you should be operating that way and you should actually go and communicate the gospel to other people because God is expecting you to do that. Even if you are rejected, even if they don't like you, even if they get upset with you. This is part of the suffering with Christ, okay? Which is really not suffering. Suffering with Christ is not being sick. It's like suffering the rejection of men because we speak the truth and because the truth is in us and comes out and they can't stand to the light. Praise the Lord. So this is something that we had to learn. See, that's why witnessing is a way really to learn to move with the Holy Spirit. Because the forces of evil and the forces of good are operating right on the level there. And you can actually sense them on the almost physically. And so that develops your ability to connect with God and to know what's happening within yourself, even when you are not witnessing. Praise the Lord. So you see, the response to the word coming to you makes all the difference. In John 6:63, says, you know, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak, this was Jesus speaking. And if you speak God's word, are the words that you speak. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So you see, there is a spiritual component that is expressed by words. And the words have a spiritual impact on the person. And the spiritual impact that they have depends on the heart of the person. And it's for us to be able to discern that so that we know what we are doing. And we can bring life to them through those words. Praise the Lord. See, but we had to understand, you know, so one of the things we said before was so important to obey the word. And we're going to get more into that. But, you know, if we can The Pharisees were trying to obey the word in the flesh. We're trying to follow the law by not spiritually, but by applying literally the things. And that doesn't produce any spiritual impact. It actually produces more problem than anything else. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, says that who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant. You see, we are not in the old covenant. We have to understand that between ministering the way it was ministering done, even praying in the Old Testament, the connection with God for the people in the Old Testament and the connection with God for people in the New Testament is completely different. We have a better covenant with better promises, with a completely different way of approaching God. We have a direct access into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. They couldn't do anything about that. They had to be careful to go into the presence of God because they were struck dead. But we are not, because Jesus' blood washes us, has washed us and will wash us as we live and obey and are connected with him. Hallelujah. So, but we have to understand the difference in our relationship and the way we relate to God. Even the way we pray shouldn't be the same way. But you know, many people don't understand that and they operate still in the Old Testament, although they are New Testament believers. And the results are, you know, they still get some results. Because God is graceful and you know, he looks after, he doesn't look at all the silly ideas and wrong concept that we have. But the impact is so much different. You know, we go for healing, we don't go to God for healing, begging and praying, God, please heal me. Because we know that according to Isaiah 53, it was in the Old Testament, but 1 Peter 2:24, we were healed by stripes. So if we were healed, that means he healed us already. We had just to receive it. So we had to impose the healing on our body that is subject to the oppression of the devil. Simple as that. So we don't need to be there begging. We command the thing to go in Jesus' name and ask to obey and exercise the authority of the believer that is Jesus' authority that is given to us to use in his name. And so that's the only thing we had to do. It's not a 1 hour prayer. It's not a 1 day prayer. It's not a one, you know, it's 1 minute prayer. If you even need to do that. It's a 2 words prayer in Jesus' name. I'm counting them. You know, go in Jesus' name. All right? So the idea is very simple. We operate in a different way. We operate the way Jesus and the apostles and the disciples did in the coming of the new covenant. And it produced results. The other one, maybe sometime because of God's grace, you know, but we get it by God's grace too, but this, you know, the degree of success is enormously different. All right. So, what I wanted to stress here is was in 2 Corinthians 3:6, I said, you know, we also make it sufficient of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So he said, the thing is not the letter that we are connecting with the word, it's with the spirit in the word. So, you know, sometimes you can use different words, but the concept is the same. The logos is the same. So it's not that if you have one word or another word, it's going to be different. It's just the idea that communicated by God, that's the power in it. See, Jesus was the Logos, made flesh. Although it's transformed, you know, it's translated word, but word, actually, the original Greek, you see that there was a difference. It's not the what you write there, it's the concept, it's the idea behind the word that makes a difference. All right. You know, sometimes we get caught up, oh, I want this translation, the other translation. You know, I don't care what translation you use. If it accurately reflect what the original language said, it's okay. If not, it's not okay. So you have to look, make sure that that happens. All right. The point is, you know, this is such an important distinction that we have to make. Because we can follow the law and become legalistic and Pharisaic. And instead of bringing freedom, we bring bondage. We have to follow the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Because the letter kills, the spirit gives life. Hallelujah. And the word that is communicated, you see, I was talking, making the difference between a person that you bring the good news, that receives and the one doesn't receive it. One is saved and the other isn't. You know, it's or one is healed and the other is not. Depending on the degree of unbelief or belief that they have inside them. The openness of their hearts. See, the heart is everything what we receive from God. God looks at the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but the thing is, that applies to everything. I mean, once we got saved and we walk and try to follow the law, we can get caught up into legalism. So we have to remain in the spirit and continue to receive things in the spirit. And even the word has to be received in the spirit. That means, you know, it's not just a question of making a Bible study and taking literally what is written there. We need to get revelation. It's the revelation that brings the breakthrough. It's the appropriation at the heart level of what the word says that makes the difference in our life. Hallelujah. God looks at the heart. Amen. And the meaning of that is that we receive in the heart. So if we are hardened, and we all are hardened to a degree, because there are areas in which, you know, if there is an area in which you do not experience what the word of God says concerning that thing, your heart is hardened. Doesn't matter if you are a Christian or not a Christian. Hello? It's not just for unbelievers. See, the hardened heart is the decision that we made to believe something that is contrary to what the word of God says. So, you know, and sometimes we do it to our own, you know, to mess up ourselves too. Because, you know, you want to be healed, but inside yourself, maybe you believe more your symptoms than what the word of God says. And so if you believe more your symptoms, your heart is hardened in that area, and you are rejecting what the word of God says, and you are not receiving what happens. Other cases. Are you following me? So what, you know, how do you take your heart and make it softer? Well, you repent. That means you change the way you think about the certain things. It's not that you have to go around flagellating yourself because your heart is hardened because it's not going to do it. You have to say, well, wait a minute, I'm wrong here. And there is a better way of looking at the thing. And this is something that I had to change within myself. And maybe you got the resistance inside because there is a stronghold of the enemy that put you there because of the experiences you had before. Are you following me? You see, that's the way the enemy take advantage of you. And you had to work towards softening your heart. How do you do that? You take the word and you start meditating on it. You meditate the word until the word becomes reality for you. When the word is reality for you, your heart is lined up with it and you receive whatever God said you should receive. Are you still there?
Yes.
You know, we all have areas in which we experience that kind of thing. This is not God's plan for us. You know, this is why when we read something in the Word, and we say, yes, that looks would be nice, but I don't experience that. Well, that's an area for you to work on. It's an area to go to the Word and start meditating on it and start allowing the Holy Spirit to bring you revelation. Because, you know, revelation comes from 1 second to the next. Suddenly, you have it. And you say, oh, yes. And when you got it, but, you know, if you are hardened, if you resist it, you stay there. Okay? Depending on what it is, in some cases, it's simply, you know, well, you are not going to get blessings. In some other cases, maybe you don't even have salvation, because if your basic relationship with God is cut off because of that, bad luck, or whatever you want to call it. Are you following me? So this is why it's so important for us to understand the position of our heart and to soften that, because we can do something about it. God wants to set us free. But He has done everything for everything that we need. I mean, salvation, relationship with God, gifts of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, everything. But we have a part to receive it and to appropriate it and to make it ours. Hallelujah. So, the laws of the kingdom. You see, we can become legalistic by going to the Word, and many are. And instead of finding freedom, they become caught up into, you know, doing details of stuff that really God couldn't care less. Or instead, we can learn to move with the Spirit, and the Spirit works through us and bless us in many different ways. So yet, when we go to be in the kingdom, see, we had to learn to operate according to principles or laws that are completely different from the law that we learn in the world. Okay? And they had to do, and to do that, they had to have a revelation from the Holy Spirit, who is the one that wrote the law anyway, about how to implement these laws in our life. Okay? And we saw that the basic thing, one of the really, the key to enter the kingdom, the key to be able to move into there, is faith. Okay? Faith is the basis of what allows us to enter in. That means to believe the Word of God, trusting God, and not doubting. Rejecting doubt, rejecting unbelief. Taking a position, realizing when our heart is opposing God. Okay? Now, the second law that we already talked about was, you know, from Proverbs 4, 20 to 24. You know, that we focus on the Word and we meditate on it day and night. See, as we do that, then we are going to succeed, because a success is nothing else than achieving what the Word of God says we should have, we should experience. If it's a healing, you know, healing is manifested. If it's breakthrough in other areas, we are going to have breakthroughs in other areas, in financially, emotionally, relationally, whatever. Are you still there? Good. Then we talked about, you know, the impact of meditation on our heart. Okay, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, talks about the impact of meditation. And this is, you know, we saw that the automatic result of meditating on the word day and night is strength, courage, and obedience to the word, but not in a legalistic way, in a way that is effective to produce the result, to have good success, so that we can stand strong spiritually in the things we do, not because we are there picking and checking out all the mistakes that we made or not, like the Jews were doing. We just can be free and walk, and it's the law of liberty in which we can move in freedom, but we do the things that God wants us to do. And we don't do the things that we shouldn't be doing because we automatically feel rejecting that ideas and those thoughts and those things because they don't fit with our figure, with our image, with our identity. So those are the things that we already seen, but there are enormous amount of other rules. Because we are talking about an existence that is completely different from the existence in the world. I mean, here there are laws like gravity, there are laws like things that are, but they are nothing compared to the laws that God has made because, you know, gravity is a law that is valid all the time. It wasn't valid for Jesus. He walked on water. That means, you know, the gravity wasn't pulling him down through the water. He was lifted up in the heavens in front of everybody. So gravity was not a factor, an element. But, you know, you still are bound by that law. Unless you develop like Jesus and he could walk on water. And that, you know, that would please him. There's a bit of work to do yet. Yep. Amen? But it's not so far off. You know, there are so many different things. Like, you know, if you want to go from here to Toronto, you have to take a car and drive there or take a plane. And it takes time. If you were Philip or some of the other guy there, I'm in Toronto. Hello? And back. I mean, you know that this is happening today? It's happening today. There are people that go ministering in area that they cannot go to, and they are just instantaneously brought there and they're brought back to the where they were. I mean, it happened even in the past. You know, I remember John G. Lake sharing once it was transport from United States where he was, or maybe, no, it was in South Africa at that time, was transport to England or another place like that instantaneously to go and minister to a person and went back. And he saw the place, you know, he saw the place he went through. You know, it was like was flying in a plane. And the guy was completely healed. Now, you know, you talk to somebody that is not part of the kingdom, they say, you are crazy. The thing is, they cannot, you see, they cannot see the kingdom of God because they cannot experience that is what happens with when you operating at that level is supernatural. God wants to operate, want us to operate supernatural, want to operate supernatural through us. So that he can fulfill the work that needs to be done because sooner or later, that's the only way to go. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Well, we're going to take a few more extra minutes today. It's okay? I have your permission. Hallelujah. Good. So I'm going to show you another. You see, obeying God, it doesn't cost. It's always pays. It's always good to do what God tells us to do. Now I'm taking another scripture that and using it in a slightly different way than generally is used. And it's Psalm 1, starting from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, not sit in the seat of the scornful. See, what he's doing here is passing a judgment on the world. Wouldn't you say? I mean, he's identify the ungodly, the sinner, and the scornful. All right? Okay, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. For and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His worst leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, you know, this is repeating what we already saw before, the effect of meditating on the word. But there is a bit extra here. You can see, number one, that he delights in the law of the Lord. I mean, he delights to be meditating on God's word. Why would one delight to be meditating on the word? Well, because you get the results. Okay, I mean, you know what it means. You know the impact it's having on you. You know the difference it changes in your life. You delight in it. Okay, so the component there, you know, that one of the things that we have to experience is not, oh, you know, I have to do another hour of meditation today. It's not, that attitude is going to get you nowhere. Okay, you have to go to the word because the word pulls you. You want it. You need it. You really are there expecting to produce the result because it makes all the difference in your life. All right? All right. So, but there is another component there. You see, so that is the positive things. You know, that means produce fruit in a season. You see, it doesn't say that makes you do things, you know, automatically. If there are fruit, that means they're coming automatically out. They just, you're not working for them. You just work on the word, and the word works in you and produces the fruit. Just the same as a fruit comes out of a tree. The tree is not there pushing and working to get the fruit out. Automatically, a tree produces fruit. And there is, you produce results. You are going to be successful without working for it. But it says something else, though. You know, there is a negative component of what we've been reading. It says, you know, that you are not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So you see, the idea, or sit in the seat of the, or on the path of sinner, or stand in the path of sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. So really, you know, what it's saying is, you separate yourself from the world. And this is a fundamental, important law of the kingdom. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbeliever, allowing counsel coming from people in the world, allowing standing where they stand, allowing them to influence you because they will influence you. See, as you meditate on the word, what you do is you move out of that kind of environment. But if you stay in that environment, all the work that you do to meditate on the word is going to be destroyed the very moment when you are exposed to them, because they are going to influence you. Say, so, well, what do? You never reach out to anybody. You reach out quickly, minister to them, and get out. You don't allow to be yourself yoked with people that are going to pull you down and put you into bondage. You know, it doesn't take much to put you into bondage. The only thing you have to do is to be exposed for a short period of time. You know, you go, people make friends with people in the world, and these friends swear and say bad words all the time. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you stay there for too long, you're going to swear just the same way as they do. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is why you have to protect your heart, the way it's said in, you know, in Proverbs chapter 4, with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. So we saw another law today. There are many, and Jesus showed them to us, so many, so that we can learn to operate. You know, it's not because you want to be legalistic, it's because you want to operate in the kingdom dimension, and you don't want to be pulled back into this world. Okay. I think we can close now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Amen. I know. He was meant it the right way. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. We like to laugh at ourselves. It's a good thing to do. Jesus played around with the disciples too. Praise the Lord. I think we should close in that with a confession prayer. Yes. You think? All right. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for enabling us to come into your kingdom. As we receive the good news in our hearts, we are born again. We are new people. All things in us are of God, and we want to serve you, to lift you up, to spread the good news, and to bring life to a dead world, because your heart, your desire, your power that you give to us pushes us to do it. And so right now, we open ourselves up to your will, to your direction, your anointing, your power. Then signs and wonders may follow us the way they follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.